Welcome to the Monsters Cast. This is a special episode. You're joined by me, Callum Morris. You're joined by him at the top.
That's me, Jamie McMillan.
And her in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Bailey.
Who's that? Oh, yeah. Hi, Lauren.
So if you listened to our guest special, you will notice that at the start, we explained that we had to do a little re-recording of the introduction due to the fact that both Dr. McMillan, PhD, messed up the recording. And after we finished doing that, we said to Lauren, do you fancy sticking around? We're about to record an episode about some moons. And she was like,
this is how we do it.
All right, let's go. Yeah. So this is going to be interesting. Technically, another out of season special. So you guys who are audio or visual listeners and watchers are very spoiled. We still don't have a sponsor. If you'd like to sponsor us, just send us an email. We'll happily.
Are we looking for sponsors? Oh, maybe.
Sure, why not?
You are now.
We are now. It's happened. It's happened. My God. So, Jamie. You brought this paper to our attention.
Yeah, I did.
Talk to me about it. What is it?
Well, we're not meant to be here, but this is a timed event.
Yes, time sensitive.
So I thought let's do it. I saw an article. There was a chat about a mini moon. Katie got me excited. Turns out it's only going to be here for 2 months. So I said, find me the paper. Show me the paper. And I found the paper, and we're reading that paper. So the paper we got today is a 2 month mini moon. 2024 PT5 captured by Earth from September to November. There you go.
Amazing.
Published September the 3rd, 2024. And this is by Carlos de la Fuente Marcos and Raul de la Fuente Marcos.
Amazing.
There you go.
Lauren, what's your favourite satellite and why?
Satellite?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking man-made or natural?
Your choice, favourite satellite. It could be that one Eurovision song that won, that Germany won with.
Oh, that is an absolute banger, you know? That.
Do you know the song, Jamie? Like a satellite. That one is so good.
I do not know this.
I literally listen. It's on my playlist at the minute. It's such a classic.
It is.
All right, we'll go there.
So go on, favourite satellite and why?
There's a song, right? Yeah, that one.
What, our
the moon?
What, the moon?
Which moon? The moon or the mini moon? Because we've got a new moon now.
Well, I haven't really seen the mini moon. It's not been in my life that long. I can't really commit to it. The actual moon has been around for a long time. I feel like it does a lot for our planet. You can't, like...
But you have only seen half of our moon.
Can't fault it.
That's okay.
Like, are you not judging a book by its cover by saying our moon?
No. I back our moon. Our moon does so much for us. Think of, like, when you look at it and you see all the craters and you just think, oh, God, you've been through so much for us. Like, you take literally so many hits.
It does. But I back tanks, it. He tanks.
Yeah.
He really
something
does
else
tank.
Popped up the other day about some moons. I can't remember what popped up. There was something about the moon changed. The moon did something weird in COVID. I don't know what that was about.
It probably just breathed a sigh of relief that the human stopped polluting for 5 minutes.
All right.
It got all excited. Yeah. Something's really let down again.
What would that be?
I think my favourite satellite, is it Titan, the one that is...
I was going to say Titan.
Is that the one that's potentially got an underground ocean, Titan?
You thinking about Europa?
I might be thinking about Europa.
Big lump of ice with the water inside. Titan's really cool, though. Titan's the... So Europa's Jupiter's moon, one of the Galilean satellites, and Titan is Saturn's moon with... A methane. We've got a carbon cycle.
Yeah, I am thinking of Europa. You're right.
Either way, like you get like liquid methane, gaseous methane. I assume solid methane.
It's cold enough, I guess.
That's so cool.
That's really cool.
Methane-based biology.
So I noticed at the top of this episode, you said. Today we are reading. Is this going to be like our other special where we just read to the audience?
This is.
Is this just audiobook special?
Yeah, bugger it. All right, let's get there then.
Okay,
so,
we're just doing it.
The abstract. It's a tiny wee thing. It's
have
so
you got
cute.
It open, Aaron, on your screen? Have you got the
link? Yeah, I got it up.
Amazing.
Nice. All right, so the abstract.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, let's podcast here. Near-Earth objects are... They follow... What? Near-Earth objects that follow horseshoe paths. How could it be a horseshoe path? Orbits go around in circles. Everybody know they go in circles.
Yeah, but and it approach doesn't... Our planet it's not, is it? Because it's going to leave.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Physicist.
Like, you know more about it than me, point, so yeah, know? That's great.
Our by the way, we just
tell me more.
We decided to record this about 2 days ago, so I think collectively our research is slim, but we're gonna give it a good shot.
Near Earth objects follow horseshoe paths and that follow horseshoe paths and approach our planet at close range and low relative velocity may undergo mini moon events in which the geocentric energy becomes negative for hours, days, or months. Cool. Someone Google geocentric energy. I don't know what that is. But without completing one revolution around Earth while bound. Okay. So that's... All right. An example of an NEO experience in such a temporarily captured flyby... Ah, a flyby. Is 2022 NX1. Catchy name. Which was a short-lived mini-moon in 1981 and 22. Here we show that the recently discovered small body, 2024 PT5, follows a horseshoe path. And it will become a mini moon in 2024 from so, yesterday at the time of recording.
So my thought about November. This abstract was I'm really disappointed that this happened in 2022 because this is like I don't remember seeing this in the news in 22. Mm-hmm. So like why do we care this time? Is it bigger?
I think this is.
Is it there for longer?
I think
well, that
it
was
is
a flyby in 22. We've had a bunch of other ones. Look, there's.
Yeah,
if we head to the introduction. Yeah, we've had loads. So temporary flybys, we've got two known examples in 91 VG and February 1992.
So I suppose this one's special because it's going to stay around
it's
for a long
special.
Time.
It's not special.
But don't you think people are just a bit more interested in sort of space
cool
events at the minute after the Aurora Borealis earlier in the year?
Possibly.
People are really dialed
yeah,
in at the
yeah,
minute.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
I,
that's a good call.
Although, to be honest, every time I think people are interested in science, Jamie proves me wrong. So we had a conversation when we did the Higgs paper and I was like, oh yeah, everyone knows that at CERN they're looking for the Higgs or they were looking for the Higgs. And Jamie was like, don't know if that's accurate.
No one knows.
I've been trying to get the courage to ask everyone at work, but I'm scared they might judge me.
You need to get your kids you to do like it. a hands up if you've heard of Maybe. This.
I mean, no.
That's a fine thing to do. That's a fine thing.
I think one or two of them might surprise me, but the majority won't know.
There was one that had been in our orbit for many years.
The thing I'm most excited for in this paper is I don't get the graphs. Yeah. Jamie's really good at describing graphs. I hope he's had a good look at them.
we have had mini moons for like several years. Which one was it? From July 2020, this came to anime. I don't know. One of them said that it had been around for a couple of years. So like, it's not a new thing. Are we just heading straight to the plots? Let's go there.
I mean, we can. I've got at least one tangent I'd like to talk about. Shall we do tangent now?
Come on, then, man.
So,
what do you got?
Picture this: when you're a child, you think some things are scarier than they are. So, when
like
I
Gremlins?
Was a kid, I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Freaky.
And at the end of that movie, the guy gets run over by a giant tarmac roller.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, I legitimately thought tarmac rollers would be like up there in causes of death. They're not.
No, they're not. That's not surprising.
I thought asteroids would be scarier than they are as well. And I feel like this is effectively just an asteroid.
Yeah.
That, you know, if the Big Bang was a few seconds later, could have been a problem.
It's just coming to chill.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
And I just wondered your thoughts on like asteroid related doom. Is it something to worry about?
No, I don't think so. I think if we put it into the grand scheme of things, humans. Much worse than asteroids.
I mean, it's all down to probability, though, really, isn't it? It's a high impact, low probability event. So, like,
oh, you're, you know, so good.
Really bad. But you know, is it going to happen? Probably not. Whereas humans, you know, kind of low impact when you think about it on a day to day basis. But like, you know,
don't say that. Probability, we're going to carry on messing impact. Shit up.
So, if we started off, you know, in terms of our entire lifespan as a species.
Oh yeah.
Kind of more consistently plodding along, messing things up, but an asteroid would be like, boom, you're done.
We'll just ask the dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. And there's been a few, like, what do they call them? Like, global scale elimination
mass
events.
Mass extinction events, yeah.
Mass extinction.
Do scientists, is the consensus still it was an asteroid that did the dinosaurs?
So I was actually...
That's
going
what
down
I saw in the movies,
this
yeah.
The other day.
Yeah, I've gone down a few, but I can't remember the... Tell me.
So I think it's the, yes, it had an impact, but there was a lot of other sort of ecological things going on at the same time. So it was like the asteroid made something happen that was kind of inevitable. Like, we were going through a really high period of volcanic activity. Mm. So there was a lot of greenhouse gases being naturally produced.
More of that natural coal.
You know, exactly. and there was some sorts of, you know, competing in, like, just natural species sort of dying out. So it felt like it was kind of coming to an end anyway, I think is, like, one of the more current ways of thinking about it. So, like, you know, if the asteroid hadn't happened, would we have had a mass extinction anyway? Maybe.
Possibly.
But the asteroid came, was like, you're definitely done.
There were five mass extinction events in our global history. Do you know what caused
them? Currently undergoing number six.
You belong on the podcast, Laura. You're such a doomer. You could tell you're in my family. What the flip? Oh my god. I mean,
well, in my defense, that was what I did at uni, basically, was like catastrophic climate change kind of modeling and stuff.
Mad.
So,
okay. So, given that, do you know what caused any of the extinction events?
I know what didn't cause them.
Oh, god.
Human-related global warming. I would imagine it. I would imagine it's like volcanoes and ice ages and like drastic shifts in climate. Basically, I don't know. I don't know.
So that's pretty spot on. Going from like oldest to newest. So we've got the end Ordovician, intense glacial and interglacial periods cause large sea level swings. That's pretty cool. Did some other stuff. So that's going to kill a bunch of things. The late Devonian. Rapid growth and diversification of land plants generated rapid and severe global cooling.
Wow. That's crazy.
Plants got into it and then cooled the planet. And then volcanoes in Siberia. That's pretty cool. Lots of CO2. End of the Triassic. Underwater volcanic activity. Nice. In the Central Atlantic Magmatic Province. Camp volcanoes. And then the end of the Cretaceous, asteroid impact.
Epic. So was the end of the Cretaceous the last mass extinction event?
According to this website, yeah.
Please not according to Lauren.
it was. Yeah, the Cretaceous.
Working on the next one.
Cretaceous is paleogenic extinction event. Yeah, that was the last one.
God,
and then obviously
stuff.
The Holocene extinction, which is now.
What's happening in the Holocene extinction? What have we done?
So this is due to, you know, going through the Anthropocene, and it's basically a result of human action and us, you know, pumping massive amounts of greenhouse gases into the air, just concreting over all, like, you know, nice natural environments, polluting the oceans. Systems are very clever and they last a really, you know, they're big systems. It's really hard to think about the systems we have on the planet, but, you know, little things consistently going wrong in them.
My favourite metaphor to describe very, very complex systems is to think of like a hand wound blanket of some kind. If I pull a single thread out, it's not going to affect the blanket. I could pull a few threads out, it won't affect the blanket. But there will come a point where I unravel the blanket and the blanket is no longer a blanket. It's now a pile of threads. I think that's a good metaphor for thinking about very complex
symptoms. That's a nice analogy,
symptoms.
I like it.
That is a good metaphor.
Yeah.
The world is a blanket.
So going back to asteroids, If an asteroid's coming to Earth, do you think it'll be like Armageddon and we'll be able to destroy it, or do you think it would will be like the dinosaurs and that'll be that?
It depends how big it is and how good its aim is. But I
like
think if it's
think
big and it
this...
hits us, we're screwed.
Mm.
Right?
I like to think there's a scientist somewhere in like
thinking
the depths of
that.
NASA that's doing something, and he has a plan for how he's going to luck in the
or
films.
She.
Or she, he or she.
Or they.
But,
let's be really inclusive.
Yeah. This person is somewhere in the depths of NASA thinking up
Jamie,
a really
that wasn't
good
a
plan.
Joke. We're actually trying to be inclusive, mate.
I know.
I'm gonna check your privilege.
I think there are asteroid killer things on there. We've been sending things to asteroids and blowing them up.
I don't know.
I'm sure that's a thing. Blowing asteroids. Come on, Google. I mean, DuckDuckGo. X-rays won't. No. We can nuke an asteroid. Yes.
This won't be there cut out,
yeah,
by
I
the
feel
way,
like,
Lauren.
Haven't we read... I feel like I've heard someone talk about this before, the whole idea of nuking an asteroid. Mm. And that is like, it's a kind
yes.
of an okay idea if it's really far away. If it's like even remotely close to us,
it's probably a
bad
idea.
Idea.
Yeah.
Didn't they set off... I'm either thinking about a film or something else, but didn't they set off like a small explosive to just change the trajectory? We've been doing... I'm sure there have been science missions, like NASA-level missions, where they've been messing about with asteroid defence. Oh, crash into an asteroid, defend a planet. There we go. The New York Times has got me covered. Yeah,
reliable source.
It's fine. No, I don't have a subscription.
We'll never know.
That's it. So to answer my question, 50-50. We'll never know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe it'll be like
have
that.
Have to wait
that,
and see when asteroid comes.
Maybe it'll be like that movie, Don't Look Up, anyway. Did you watch that with Jennifer Lawrence on Netflix? You haven't?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's pretty good.
Got nothing.
It's pretty
Got
funny.
Nothing.
It's your homework.
I have to watch it.
Would recommend?
Yeah.
It's all right.
Okay.
It was like
Hang
a,
on.
It
Film
was.
Again?
It's called. I think it was called Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up. 2021 film. Yeah, Don't Look Up. Jennifer
yeah.
Lawrence, Kate Blanchett,
oh,
Leo DiCaprio. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. It was like yeah. No spoilers. Go
I
watch
feel like
it.
I vaguely
good.
Remember the scene, the trailer for that a while
yeah,
ago.
Almost
so. I never got around to see it.
Yeah. It's pretty yeah. good. Pretty good. So, can we look at these graphs?
Yeah, go on then.
So, looking at
so I made sense of the first one. So, what we're saying here, if you recall from the abstract, if you have a negative geocentric energy, that means you've been captured by the Borg, by the Earth. And so, what we can see in. Well, it's all figure one.
All
but if you look in the top left panel,
mm-hmm.
and of the top left panel, the bottom bit, I'm just seeing little spikes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can see. And I don't know when the time is relative to. So I'll figure that bit out in a bit, but I'm sure someone will find it in the caption. But we can see each of those are capture events. And there's like, you know, 25, 50 years between them. So, yeah, I don't really get... What the triangles are telling us. Something about the lambda r in degrees. What's the lambda r? I've got no idea what the lambda r is.
Don't know, mate.
I'm sure it's defined somewhere. The lambda... No, that's somewhere else. This is... You can't do this on the fly. This is disgusting. Think of the listening experience. It doesn't get good for the listener. Lambda.
We're having a great time, though. That's what matters.
The mean longitude of the NEO and that of Earth. Lambda R. There you go. That doesn't really tell me what it is.
No.
The evolution of the relevant resonant angle or difference between. I think it's like how close. So if it gets to zero. Okay. Yeah. That tracks. It gets to zero, and that means they are. Their axes are aligned. Maybe. I think that's what that means.
We'll go with that. Did you guys
yeah,
understand
can...
that, listeners? Do you get that, Lauren? Happy with that? All up to date?
No, but that's fine.
To be...
I'm enjoying looking at the pre-graphs.
To be completely honest and fair to Jamie, he's normally a lot better at explaining a graph.
I sometimes put in more effort in this.
We're having a lovely time.
I mean, so I think what was throwing the top left panel off is that it's like, you know, a 300-year time span. If we have a look at the top right panel, we got a little zoom in to this 0 year. So what I'm assuming
is time zero, like now, basically.
I think time zero was the 3rd of September, if my assumption is correct. And what you can see is a little bit in the future, which will be end of September.
Month or so,
which is now. There will be a negative geocentric energy point, and so we can see it's in there for a couple of months. So the top panel shows that the orbital axes are aligned, and it like peaks at zero and says, "We're aligned.
Happy
You've
days.
Captured me. Great job."
Do you think are we?
And then bugs off again.
I didn't notice in the paper. Maybe I was just blind and didn't read it very closely. Oh, can we see the mini moon with our eyes, or do we need a telescope?
I don't know if I saw anything in the paper that gave anything in an accessible manner. If I recall from Katie reading the article, yes, you can with a telescope.
Epic.
I've got a telescope.
We have to go
I'm pretty sure you can't do it with the naked eye.
We'll have to go telescoping, James.
But there was something about the brightness, something about H value. I read that to be like a magnitude. Well, that'll be somewhere in the paper. Anyway, yeah. So I think you can, and I'll have to do some digging after this. But there's probably some database somewhere where you can just find this object and point it in the sky.
Have
and
a
say,
look at it. Yeah.
Look at it.
Very cool.
Have a look, please. Yeah, so at least look at some of these other plots. I don't know what the bottom left
I don't understand
saying.
The bottom plots, to be honest with you.
Well, the X is saying astronomical units. So that's saying it's like really close. So I think that's showing it be captured, which makes sense, I think.
The bottom the bottom center and the right panel show the geocentric motion during the pathway.
What's the geocentric motion?
I'd have read that in the paper.
Weren't prepared for the follow-up, were you? Look, pretty graphs. The link's in the description, guys, if you want to go and have a look.
Yeah, go have a look at some screens. I'm pretty sure Milo drew these.
What an artist. I've scrolled down to discussions and conclusions, by the way, because I don't think we're going to get much more out of those graphs.
Nice. All right. So what did you learn from this paper, Callum, when you read it?
There's going to be a mini moon.
And I think that's the short and sweet summary of it. I mean, it's a two-page paper. It says there's going to be a mini moon. It says here's some data for
And literally, to be fair to me, the conclusion does says the evolution of all control orbits indicate that 2024 PT5 will experience a temporarily captured flyby in 2024. So the conclusion literally says there's going to be a mini moon, boys. Strap in and get your telescopes out. Go
That's
and have a look
it.
At that bad boy.
So good. Such a good paper.
I feel
paper.
Like having not read this paper and just scrolled through as we've decided to record, my takeaway is that I was really excited for the mini moon because I thought it was going to happen, you know, like it's a one-off thing. It's not.
That was my thought when I read it. That was my thought.
Yeah. A little bit disappointed.
Yep.
Not gonna lie,
but I think your comment was accurate. I think people are just looking at the skies a bit more interested after the UK aurora earlier on in the year. Right, makes sense. Obviously, we've
Either
no
that,
data to back that up, but was it,
well, it
they say,
that, or it could be that the rest of the world has gone so much to pot that this is the best that they can discuss. Maybe that's
what we're such doomers today. Right, ending on a high. What's your favourite space movie, Jamie? Go.
Space movie, Inception. No, wait, Interstellar. No, wait, that's rubbish. Star Wars.
Yes! That was super basic. Excuse me. Lauren?
I watched actually one last weekend. It was called Sunshine.
Never seen it.
So, recommend. It's kind of, I don't want to give it away, but
it's fine. I'm not going to watch it. Tell me more.
It's all set in space. It's all set in space, and basically the sun is dying, so they need to. Actually, this plays perfectly into our discussion. They're going to fire basically a nuclear bomb into the sun to reignite it.
That sounds stupid.
There's like a whole hoe. It takes. It's not. That's not really. That's kind of like.
I need someone to do
the
math.
Why we get to where we are. That's why we get to where we are. There's like a whole other like sub story that happens, right. And it kind of takes a turn. And suddenly you're like, this is like, I don't know, crazy.
It's Danny Boyle and Cillian Murphy. I'm on board.
All right, yeah, I'm down. Let's watch it. Mine is Alien. Yeah. The original Alien.
Good one.
So for the audio listeners, Jamie just pretended he had a chest burster and made that noise. All right, let's wrap this up. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I've been Callum, he's been Jamie. Please give a warm thanks again to our special guest, Lauren. If you like having her around, let us know. If there is actually anyone listening, let us know.
No one listens to this, it's fine.
Yeah, it's just me.
Because I've enjoyed having her here, but the problem is, if we have her here all the time, there will potentially be no one listening. Kind of that. So,
yeah. This has been great.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Take it easy. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.